Welcome to the Inside Maumee Athletics Podcast, where we bring you the pulse of our Panthers athletic scene. I'm your host, Jeremy Schneider. Each week, we dive into the inspiring stories, hard-fought games, and the teamwork that makes our community proud. We've got a very special guest for you this week. I sat down with John Bowles, the longtime Maumee football coach who still holds the school record for career wins. He coached the Panthers from 1998 through 2012, and he was leading the program the last time they made the playoffs and hosted a playoff game. If you're a football fan or just someone who loves Maumee, this is an interview you do not want to miss. Before we get to Coach Bowles, though, let's take a look back at the highlights from last week on our Panthers Rewind. The football team made it two straight wins with a 33-13 win over Genoa. Even now, with a few days to reflect, this game still strikes me as the sort that people will look back on and talk about many years from now. Everything about that night, from how the players performed to how absolutely electric Kazmaier Stadium was, man, it's going to stick with me. That was a classic example of what high school football in Ohio can be. The Panthers held the top rushing offense in Northwest Ohio to 40 yards on the ground, and it was a true team effort. The defensive line spent as much time in the backfield as the Genoa skill positions. Pierce Simpson, Donnie Mays, Cody Wolf, Brock Hurd, Cohen Jones, Espen Hurt, the list goes on. All of them were absolute beasts on Friday. And on offense, the Panthers' offensive line keeps getting better and better. This is the best game I've seen from that unit all year. They helped Cody rush for 189 yards and to score, and they allowed Ben Kubit's time to throw three touchdown passes on three completions. Not only did Maumee win the game and claim a spot among the best teams in the NBC, it also effectively clinched a home playoff game for the Panthers. It'll be the first time they've hosted in Week 11 since 2009. We'll talk to Coach Bowles later on about how special it is to not only make the playoffs, but to host a game as well. Congratulations to the Maumee boys soccer team on winning their second straight NBC title last week. The Panthers dominated Lake 9-0 to finish their conference schedule unbeaten and also unscored upon. In 2 years in the NBC, Maumee has allowed exactly zero goals. Of all the numbers and stats you'll hear in this podcast, I think that's the craziest one. To not allow a goal over 12 conference games is just nuts. Not surprisingly, the Panthers were also awarded the top overall seed in the upcoming Division III Northwest District Tournament. They get a first-round bye, and they'll face the winner of Clay and Central Catholic in the district semifinals on October the 23rd at Ottawa Hills. In addition to beating Lake, Maumee blanked Fremont Ross 4-0 last week. Blake Wagner had 7 goals in those 2 games. Blake now ranks 4th in the state with 39 goals and 2nd in Ohio with 92 points. The girls' soccer team earned the number 4 seed in the district tournament, and they'll open against winless Sandusky on October the 16th at Kazmaier Stadium. A win in that game would put them in the district semifinal against top-seeded Sandusky Perkins. Maumee and Perkins battled to a scoreless tie in the season opening game this year. The volleyball team dropped 3 contests last week to Archbald, Oak Harbor, and Eastwood. Autumn Draper had 17 kills, and Brooke Kwiatkowski had 34 assists in the 4-set loss to the Comets. The Panthers will open their postseason at Lima Shawnee on October 16th. Maumee last played in Shawnee in the 2020 district final, beating the Indians 3-1 to advance to the regional tournament. It was a big week for the Maumee cross-country teams, both at the high school and middle school levels. Yeah. Freshman Ariana Dugan took 2nd at the NBC Jamboree at Oak Harbor last week, continuing her incredible season. Gabe Dario and Ian Whetstone both had top 20 finishes for the boys' team, helping the Panthers to a 5th-place team finish. The boys' and girls' team swept the NBC Jamboree middle school team titles. Chase Dario won the boys' individual title, and Sierra Fraley won the girls' crown. And that's a look back at the week in Panthers athletics. Our guest this week is no stranger to Maumee Athletics. He spent 15 seasons commanding the sideline at Kazmaier Stadium, winning a school record 86 games, including three playoff wins. Here's our conversation with John Bowles. So this week brings homecoming to Maumee, and it's a time when a lot of alumni, a lot of people who have been very close and done a lot at Maumee come back to Maumee. So what are some of your best memories? You know, you're back in Maumee today for this podcast. When you come back here and you see Kazmaier Stadium, you see the high school, you know, what are some of the best memories, some of your proudest memories when you see these things?
Well, I guess one of the things I thought of initially was when you asked me that question is that we wanted, when you talk about Kazmaier Stadium, and they named it Kazmaier my first year here.
Oh, okay.
And meeting Dick Kazmaier and all those kinds of things.
Wow.
And so that was very special and getting to know him.
Yeah.
But we wanted to make that stadium a place where people did not want to come to play us. And we also wanted to make sure that it was a place that they knew they were going to have to play really well, and they were going to get hit.
Yeah.
And they were going to have a team that just was all over the place. And we wanted that reputation for that field. And so that's the first thing I thought of when you talked about Kazmaier Stadium and building it into that kind of place. And of course, practice fields right next to it.
Yeah.
That's what we could tell our players. We're preparing to be out there to make this place someplace that people don't want to come to. In my first few years, actually, everyone seemed to have us scheduled for their homecoming. Because we struggled.
Sure,
my
sure.
First few years here. And we talked about, even with the players that were there, you're building a foundation. You're a piece of this that is going to make our program a place in this field that people don't want to come to. We know it's tough right now, but right. You're the foundation of building that right now, even though it's tough.
What did it take? What did it take to get these kids to really buy in, to believe that, and to really start to learn how to win?
You know, that's obviously that's a great question. I think learning how to win and expecting and raising your standards for yourself on what's acceptable. I remember one of our first few years where we would ask kids after we had gotten beat fairly soundly how they played, and some of them said, I played pretty well.
Ooh.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
And you don't want to beat kids down. You want
right.
to be positive, and you want to build on the positives. But I think raising that standard of what you expect from yourself and from each other, and it started with the coaching staff, and just building. You know, it's an overused word today, but it's true. It's building that culture
mm-hmm.
where players become, they're able to improve and become more successful, and developing that accountability and desire.
Right.
And that's the whole key to everything.
You know, it's funny that you bring up culture. Because I've talked to Cam Kuchar a lot when he was the football coach and now is the athletic director. Culture is everything to him.
Mm-hmm.
Evan says the same thing. It's about building the culture. Did they learn that from you? Is that coming, or is that more of a broad thing that, you know, you've got to have that culture?
Well, I think every coach knows that.
Yeah.
You do. Everyone knows that.
Right.
But it's living it.
Yeah.
And it's living it every day, and it's making the kind of choices every day that promotes that culture. And sometimes, you know, what may help with short-term success isn't good for long-term success.
Right.
And building the character qualities that are going to make that culture. And character qualities don't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a daily battle.
Yeah.
And coaches, it starts in that coaching room. And the coaches, first of all, making sure that we are all on that same page together.
That's one thing I think Evan has done really well in his short time as the head coach here, is he surrounded himself with some amazing, incredible assistant coaches. He has guys who are just in it. They are very dedicated already to this Maumee program. Maybe talk a little bit about some of the guys you surrounded yourself with and just how important that is
because as a head coach, you can't do it by yourself. There's too much going on right. on a Friday night, much less throughout the rest of the week. So how important is it to surround yourself with those coaches who are on the same page?
Again, we talk about foundation of things. That's a foundational type thing, is surrounding and having people in our program that we all believe in the same things. And that was on me to set the standards for what I believed in. Can you buy into this, and can you do these things? And I was very fortunate. And, you know, when I came here, there was a number of people in the building that were on staff, which okay. was great.
Yeah.
Over time, that became more difficult, and a few more outside coaches and things like that. But that whole interviewing process of getting in touch with what someone who they were, mm-hmm. and you know, the priority was really, again, was their character over their football knowledge. I always felt that the football knowledge can come, mm-hmm. but the character is something that's going to be there. And can you live the things that we're talking about? And you know, we're going to have to work hard. And, you know, at that time, being in the NLL, we were one of the smaller schools.
Right.
And there really was an identity with us that we're going to have to do things better than other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just reality.
Right.
And I think we took pride in that.
Paper has been a supporter of IMA from the very beginning. If quality journalism is important to you, please consider becoming a subscriber. You can head to their website at themirrornewspaper.com to find more information on becoming a traditional print or digital subscriber. How has it been to watch this program kind of wake back up?
It's exciting.
Yes.
I mean, I think this is my 12th season away
okay.
from Maumee. And it's still a part of who I am. It will always be a part of who I am. And to see the success that they're experiencing and the way that they're doing it. I know that Evan is doing things the right way. Sometimes people win and they may not be winning in the way that I think is always the most admirable. I know Evan is.
Yeah.
Everything has been earned. It has been earned, and it will continue to be earned. And there will be constant accountability, I think, first and foremost, from Evan himself. And that just bleeds down into everybody else.
Not to be this guy, to take the highs that we're going through right now with this season and maybe, you know, be the pessimist. But at a school the size of Maumee, and Evan has said this, there's going to be classes and there's going to be years that come through where 4-6, 5-5 might be a success. So to take advantage of the talent we have now is important. Can you speak to that? Because, you know, I mean, you coached here. You Maumee hasn't really changed size too much. Is Evan spot on there where there might be some years where a 5-5 season, hey, that's as good as we're going to get? Or, you know, how do you as a coach kind of frame that in your mind and kind of come about of, okay, this is truly the best we can do with what we've got?
That's something that I've experienced.
Yeah.
I know when I was here at Maumee, we had some bad years.
Sure.
And we had some outstanding years. And I will tell you that there's been a couple times in my coaching career, I was a head coach for 28 years,
right.
where I felt our staff did its best coaching job a couple times in a 1-9 year, mm-hmm. a 2-8. I mean, we battled, and the kids battled. But you really are limited oftentimes to the talent on your roster.
Right.
You can only play so far above that and the injuries that may happen. But what you want to make sure is at the end of the year that nobody quit. Nobody quit. And I think sometimes you can win, but know that you underachieved, that you could have been better.
Right.
And I've had years where record-wise it was not good.
Yeah.
But I know we battled. You don't want to accept that. But yes, so the short answer to your question, you are limited sometimes
sure.
by the talent and the numbers that certain classes have.
So how important is it right now, and in years like what Evan's having right now, how important is it to take advantage of a roster that's pretty loaded with talent? It's got to be. Does it put more emphasis, more focus on these years to really do it?
You know, I don't know, Jeremy. I think every year it's overused, but you trust the process.
Yeah.
You know, you want to have a process that doesn't waver,
mm-hmm.
regardless of how things, success or failure record-wise. And you want to be consistent in that.
Right.
And so I don't know if you say, well, boy, the numbers are worse next year, so we got to make sure we take advantage of it. I think you win the day, you know. You stay in the present. We had a saying on our helmets that we put it on there every year, and it was called win.
Mm-hmm.
And what's important now? And I think that ability to stay in the present, both as a staff and as a player, is key to any success. So looking too far ahead, and obviously we know not letting the past drag you down is critical.
It's funny you mentioned that what's important now stickers. Those are still on the back of the helmets to this day.
Yeah. I noticed, in fact, Evan has kept that a part
Absolutely.
Of our program. And yeah. that's, you know, that makes me very proud.
Yeah. So the Northern Buckeye Conference, you mentioned the NLL,
yes.
us being one of the smaller schools. This is the second year for us being in the Northern Buckeye Conference. I know that wasn't the conference when you coached 12 years at Genoa, but Genoa is one of those schools in the NBC, is one of the heavyweights in the NBC, and that's where Maumee finds itself.
Yeah.
Knowing what you know about those types of schools, Genoa, Eastwood, Oak Harbor, do you feel like that's where Maumee belongs? Do you feel like that's the type of conference where football specifically, Maumee belongs?
I think it is now.
Yeah.
I will tell you, when I was here, there was a move to try to go
mm-hmm.
To that conference, and I fought it because I felt football-wise we were competing very yeah. well in the NLL, and that's yeah. that's primarily what I was focused on.
Well, sure.
And at that time, I thought we could compete well, and we took pride in being one of the small guys in the conference.
Yeah.
And that, you know what? We're just going to be better than you because we're going to do things that you're not willing to do. And so that was kind of an identity thing, and I didn't want us to give it that up. Now, I think over the years, over time, you know, our size continue has more limited us, especially as some of the other NLL suburban schools continue to grow. And there is a point where, you know what, it is time to change. And I think they made a good decision in changing.
You've seen those years where, you know, you've won 8-9 games. You've seen the years where you've won 1 or 2. What does a winning football program, not just year by year, but just like a program, when kids, students, players know that, hey, this is a program that I want to be a part of, we are a winning program. In your eyes as a coach, what does that do for the overall environment of a school and the just how everybody feels about their school?
You know, I think how the football team does has an impact on how
sure.
the school feels about itself. You know, it's the beginning of a school year, and you only get one chance at beginning.
Right.
And I think when people are excited about the activities, it could be the band. I mean,
yeah.
in football, when there's an energy around it, there's an excitement, I think that spreads into the building. It never becomes more important than what happens in the classroom.
Right.
But it does aid the atmosphere within a building, and especially when your players carry themselves in a way that they're not all it.
Right.
They're more important than everybody else.
Right.
And we always wanted to build a community, to be honest, within the building and between the different sports and between the different athletes.
Does it mean something more to you to watch the success that Maumee's having these last 2 years? Does it mean something more to you to know that somebody like Evan, one of your former players, it's funny listening to you talk, so many of the things that you're saying kind of, oh, I've heard Evan say that. I've heard Evan say that. I've heard Evan say that. Does it mean something to you to have somebody like Evan be kind of at the wheel for this?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not because, well, he's one of mine.
Right.
I mean, he's one of his mom and dad who are incredible people, his
yeah.
family. And Evan had incredible character qualities before he ever came into our program. But yes, knowing him the way that I do, from the enjoyment that I had coaching him and watching how he handled situations and how he's, you know, you are really blessed as a coach when your most talented guys are your best people.
Yeah. Yep.
And I will tell you, that's Evan. And when you have that, you're going to find ways to be successful in your program because that's going to spread to the other kids. And he's a special man. And he was a special young man, too. So, yeah, I take great pleasure in watching him be successful.
So nearly 30 years as a football coach. 15 here at Maumee, correct?
It's 28 years as a head coach.
Yeah, 28 years
and
as a head
36
coach.
36 is coaching football.
Wow.
But, yeah, 1 year at Northwood was my first head coaching job.
Yeah.
12 years at Genoa, and then 15 years here as head coach.
If you could go back to John Bowles at Northwood and you could have a conversation with him, what advice would you give him that maybe John Bowles at Northwood didn't know at the time that would help?
Yeah, I think keep looking at the long game.
Okay.
For me, it's coaching your priorities.
Right.
And the priorities are that as badly as you want to win on the scoreboard, you've got to make sure that you're asking yourself, why do I want kids to play in my program? How are they going to be better in the long run from being a part of our football program?
Right.
And I think I always try to do that, but I don't think I had formulated it as clearly.
Sure.
As I did probably, you know, 10 years into my head coaching career. Maybe less than that. And I tried to live that, and that was always a battle.
So as you talk about finding out why do kids want to be a part of your, did that change year to year? Did that change athlete to athlete? Or was there one answer that you stuck to?
Well, I think some of that was built out of, sometimes you have a lot of discussions with parents.
Okay.
And sometimes parents are holding a young man back from playing.
Sure.
And so you want to be able to tell a parent, look, besides he's going to learn how to tackle better, or he's going to learn how to catch a pass, or
right.
he's going to learn how to, you know, maintain his base better or anything like that. You want to talk about what's your son going to gain
from
being a part of our program. And, I mean, I remember a very clear moment. I think it was at a time when I was at Genoa, and I don't remember how many years I was into it. But it's when... I think after some of those discussions with parents, I thought, you know, I'm going to really be specific.
Yeah.
And that's when we formulated the glue that I felt held our whole program together, which was our attitude goals. And we put it on a board.
Yeah.
It was team before me, success through hard work, and character by never quitting.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted our coaches to live that. I wanted that put on a board, that players could see that every day when they came, before they went out to practice, before they came in from practice, after a win, after a loss, regardless of the circumstances. This is who we are, and this is the challenge to live up to this. And I think that was an important part for me in the development of me as a coach.
Right.
That whenever I got sidetracked into things, you know, getting too carried away with yourself, or getting too down and saying, we've got to live that board. We've got to coach that board.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I said some of our very difficult seasons, we did great coaching because we coached that board as hard as we could.
Yeah. So with that in mind, how do you as a high school football coach kind of understand that? I mean, you get wrapped up in the day-to-day. You get wrapped up in what happens on Friday nights. But do you also have to recognize that Friday nights for these guys are going to end at a certain point, and a very small select few of them will go on and play on Saturdays, whatever the level at college. Do you as a high school football coach concern yourself and think about, okay, what am I doing? Is this part of the board? What am I doing to help them become better adults and to help them in life in general?
Yeah, and absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we did that, because it was really the most important thing is, who are they going to be? What kind of employee are they going to be someday?
Right.
What kind of husband are they going to be someday?
Yeah.
what kind of father are they going to be someday? It's really their character that's going to determine that. They'll have talent. Everybody loves talent.
Yeah.
And everybody would love to have more talent than they do character. Because because talent you can see and is admirable. But what's inside, what's in your heart, mm-hmm. is really going to determine your long-term self-satisfaction and really, if you want to put it in terms of success in marriage, in families, in occupation as an employee.
So what do you think was the biggest challenge you had to overcome as a coach?
Well, I think for anybody, I think it's in your own personal life. And again, this is getting pretty philosophical, but
I love it.
We talk about team before me. I think the hardest thing for anyone to learn is getting away from self-centeredness
right.
to other-centeredness. That I'm not the most important thing in the world. And that team before me, that's why it was the first thing on our ad, because it's the hardest thing to learn. It's the hardest thing in a coaching staff room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leave your ego outside the door. You hear sure. things like that. Well, let's not be interested in finding out my way. Let's find the best way. I mean, all those things that are cliche, they're cliches because they're true.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a group of people that are truly working in the same direction, you know, you got to fight against your opponent. You're not going to have a chance if you're fighting inside of that locker room.
Right.
So I think that... That's the hardest. I think people can learn to work hard,
mm-hmm.
and especially if they have an individual goal,
yeah.
and they're motivated. And there are some people that are wired in a way that you're not going to make me quit. But I'll tell you, when things go bad and things aren't working out for you, that you can maintain that, you know what, I can't disrupt this atmosphere. I've got to help build it. And regardless of what's going on with me.
Right.
That... As adults, we will battle that our whole life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what do you think, if you could narrow it down, what do you think was the biggest reason for success on the field for your teams? Was it attitude? Was it the team before me? What was the key to success?
Well, I mean, I got to admit, I mean, there were times we had some pretty talented teams.
Yeah, sure.
Now, that didn't mean that they were going to achieve everything they're capable of.
Okay.
But when you had some of that talent, and as I mentioned before, when your talented kids bought into what we were doing,
right,
you had a special situation that could happen.
Sure.
And those talented kids that had the right kind of attitudes, they could, I mean, we would tell our kids all the time, we practice on the field out there right next to the stadium. On the practice field, we're with you right now.
Yeah.
We're in your ear hole in your helmet. We can't be out there with you on the field. We're not out there. Now, this is your team. This is your team. You're going to influence each other in one direction or the other.
Right.
And so that was what we tried to make as a constant message, that this is your team. Yeah. And I'm never going to get away from talent. Talent really... makes you look like a better coach.
talent can cure a lot.
But I do know that talent won't help you fight back from very difficult situations and trying situations. That's when your character pulls you through.
Right. Do you keep in touch with any of your former players? And how has it been to watch some of these young men turn into men and husbands and fathers? How has it been to watch their lives unfold?
I love being around my former players.
Yeah.
I love seeing them. I love talking to them. And especially when I see them kind of embracing their lives right mm-hmm. now. And I know some of them struggle.
Sure.
And, some of them will even be apologetic about maybe how they were when they were in our program. Well, heck, I'm apologetic about how maybe I was at a certain time in my life. So I do. I love seeing my former players. I love talking to them and seeing how they're doing. And it's very we're in a people business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you went into coaching, was to see young men grow. mean, I knew early on that I wanted to go into coaching.
Yeah.
You know, as a college athlete, as really in high school, I think that I knew that I wanted to teach and coach.
Okay.
And, you know, in college football, you know, all along I had coaches that influenced me, yeah. both positively and negatively.
Well, sure.
There are ones that I said, you know what? What he, how he lived, how he talked had a big influence on me in a positive way. And there are other things that I saw that I said, if I ever become a coach, I will make sure that I won't do that.
Right.
Extremely lucky to have the Pride of the Panthers helping us make memories for our students. There aren't many communities or schools who have a group of talented photographers at almost all of our kids' events and games. You can follow them on Facebook by searching Pride of the Panthers.
Been a lot of changes just in the sport of football in general, but specifically in high school football in the last few years. So from when you started at Northwood to when you left Maumee, what were some of the biggest changes that you saw in the sport and what's changed the most?
You know, I think one of the things that comes to mind is just the level of physicality that you practiced at.
Okay.
You know, I think that early on we try to put our players in a lot more physical situations and challenge them to be more aggressive,
right,
and practice fundamentals,
yeah,
and sometimes just practice toughness.
Okay.
Of you know what, I'm going to come after you. And I think if I look at the continuum over all my coaching years, that really decreased.
Right.
And in many ways, good ways.
Sure.
Because, you know, you wanted to keep your kids fresh. Mm-hmm. You didn't want injuries. And so I think that was something that changed a lot. Technology and the way that you could, you know, scout, mm-hmm. filming, to, you know, projectors versus computers.
Yeah.
A huge change.
Yeah.
I think the way that we trained, you know, strength training.
Right.
And just the research that had gone into that and how you develop to the, you know, your physical capabilities and how much we could do. Because sometimes, you know, more is not better. And just being familiar with those things, training kids in the right way. I think another big, over 28 years, the difficulty of kids becoming more specialized. You know,
yeah,
where,
yeah,
you know, as a high school kid, again, I'm old. So being a three-sport athlete, that's what I was.
Yeah.
And
it's what everybody is.
And I like that, and I feel very lucky that I was able to do that. When I was here, we tried very, very hard to get the coaches together as a community and say, can we, because we're a smaller school in the NLL. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can't have our kids specialize.
Mm-hmm.
So let's create schedules for them where they're not feeling like they have to choose. And I think more and more kids, because let's say a simple thing like, well, I can play fall baseball. And that was hitting 12, 13, 14 years ago when I was involved in,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You know, where now you can choose a sport and play it year round. I mean, you could, back then you could play AAU basketball or whatever year round. Well, that influence has only become stronger.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to reward kids for being multiple sport athletes, and we wanted to try to do it in a way where they didn't have to make choices and made it doable for them, because those other experiences are so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to development as an athlete, to be in more situations. You know, and to build a community within your school where kids are doing multiple things and they're working with each other. You know, I go back to that idea of specializing, and there are businesses now that mm-hmm. encourage you to specialize,
mm-hmm.
and personal trainers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there were those things when I was here, and we wanted our kids to work out here. We felt like we did a very good job. It's difficult today, and what you have to do to sell, to come out, hey, come out and spend all this time out in the heat and a lot of equipment and get in a weight room and all those things. And especially if you may not find instant gratification. You know, I haven't been around kids for 12 years. I'm around my grandkids now.
Right.
But that idea of, you know, good things don't happen quickly. Mm. You know, all good things are uphill. They all are. And I think that's always been a hard lesson to teach in culture, always, sure, throughout history.
Yeah.
But I think it's becoming maybe probably even tougher right now.
There's more of an immediate gratification.
It is. There's a need for that. And if it's tough, then human nature is, we're gonna find the path of least resistance.
Sure.
We're just going to.
Absolutely.
But I think I would, I don't know if I'd be honest in saying that's probably even gotten a bigger challenge now.
If you're taking the time to listen to this podcast, chances are the student athletes at Maumee Middle School and Maumee High School mean a little something to you. If that's the case, you should consider getting involved in the Maumee Athletic Boosters. They meet once every month at the Learning Commons at the high school. Meetings are only about an hour long. The next meeting is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, November the 6th. Can't wait to see you there.
It's looking like a good chance right now that Maumee's hosting a playoff game this year. If you look at online projections that are very reliable, 99% chance at this point Maumee hosts a playoff game. They haven't done that since you were here coaching. Can you talk about the experience of hosting a home playoff game? What's that environment like? Is it different than the other 10 weeks of the year?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hosting a playoff game is incredible. Just being in your place, someone coming to your place, and the excitement, and just both from our team, from the school, from the community, the energy that was around that game, those games, I think we hosted three, if I remember right, was a great, great experience. I can remember each one.
Yeah. So what advice would you give Evan, his staff, and the players going into hosting a playoff game?
You know, I think you go back to cliches that are true, simple truths that are the best ones. You know, it's just like we take care of our business. Mm. We prepare. And we've prepared for this moment. We've earned this moment. Now, we've got to keep earning it. So right now, we do the same things that we always do. We prepare as well as we can. We depend on each other. We do all the right things. Yeah, you know, athletes today, you hear all the time, trust the process. You know, that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the outcome. Trust the process. And there's such truth in that. And so you just keep your eyes on the prize. You know, what's important now is this day, this rep, all those kinds of things. Again, cliches, but they don't get old because they're true.
This is the end of the interview, and we always end with the desert island question. So I'll ask you a couple questions here. You give me the first thing that pops to your mind. What is your favorite TV show?
Jeez, I'll be honest with you. I don't have one.
Okay, okay.
I don't watch main TV anymore.
Okay.
I guess my wife and I are watching a show called Suits right now that's been on for a lot of years. So that's one thing. But I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
What my favorite TV show is, because I really don't have one.
That's an answer. That's a valid answer. All right, Halloween's coming up this month. What is your favorite candy?
Well, a candy. I probably growing up, I was a big Snickers bar guy.
Oh, yeah.
So it might be now that, you know, when I was a kid, you got regular-sized candy bars when you trick-or-treated. Now, you know, party size or whatever. So, but, yeah, it's probably still a Snickers.
Anymore, if you're going out trick-or-treating, if you know the right neighborhoods and the right houses, you can still get those full-size ones.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's certain houses, well, though. And the kids know it. The kids will know it. Yeah. Word travels fast. Yeah. All right. So as a football coach, Ohio State or Michigan?
You know, I'm an odd guy because I like both. Now, I've had three of our children have graduated from Ohio State.
Okay.
So when they play each other, I root for Ohio State. And I root for Ohio State a little bit more than Michigan, but I like Michigan also.
Do you feel like, and this is an aside, do you feel like having coached as many years as you did in high school, do you feel like you kind of see the inside a little bit, how the sausage is made? Does that take a little bit something of that rivalry away from you, or am I just kind of barking up the wrong tree?
No, it's a great rivalry.
Yeah.
I think my attachment to Michigan comes from early in my coaching career, where the Michigan staff under Bo Schembechler, mm-hmm. and after that, they were incredibly welcoming to us going up there.
Okay.
And just our staffs individually going up and spending time with us.
Wow.
And that was not the feeling we had down at Ohio State.
Okay.
So it really led to me just really liking Michigan, never losing my love, you know, my liking for Ohio State.
Right.
But that kind of, I like both of them. Well, now I live in Columbus. So
yeah.
People would see that answer as crazy.
Normally I would. Normally I call that a cop out, but I do appreciate what you're saying. I mean, because when you have that experience with Bo and his staff up there, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I have to point out always, though, Bo Schembechler got his start under Woody Hayes. So
yes, he did.
Closet Ohio State guy.
Yes, he did. Yeah, absolutely.
What is your biggest fear? Heights, spiders, the dark? Do you have a biggest fear?
Well, you mentioned heights. As I've gotten older, I've developed a fear of heights.
Okay.
But it has to be, if I'm driving up a road uphill in the mountains,
yeah.
On the right-hand side, and I can't see the edge, and I feel like I'm driving up into the sky, I turn into a wimp where I want to get off the road and have my wife drive. So, you know.
I can't blame you there. That sounds terrifying to me.
Yeah. I'm not a snake guy either. I don't like snakes.
Oh, yeah, snakes. Who needs them? All right. Well, John Bowles, thank you very much for joining us today. You made a special trip. I know you were able to join other things into this trip up to Maumee, but you included us in the trip, and I couldn't be more thankful for your time.
Well, I just enjoy the invitation. To be able to talk about Maumee and my experiences was wonderful for me. So thank you for that gift.
Thanks to Coach Bowles for taking time out of his schedule and coming up to Maumee for the interview. You can definitely still see his influence on the Panthers football team. He might live in Central Ohio now, but Coach Bowles still loves his Maumee Panthers. Before we sign off this week, let's take a few minutes and look at some of the games and events coming up in Panthers athletics. On Thursday, your volleyball team is on the road against NBC Powerhouse Lake. Varsity is scheduled to start at 7 p.m. Also on Thursday, the boys and girls soccer teams host Central Catholic at Kazmaier Stadium. It's a big night. Not only is it senior night for the girls team, but the Maumee Athletic Boosters are doing their gold card drone drop during halftime of the girls game. Make sure you've bought your ticket. You could walk away with some pretty great prizes. The boys game starts at 5 and the girls follow at 7. The football team will try to make it 3 straight wins when the Panthers host Rossford on Friday night for homecoming. Maumee enters the game 5-2 overall and 2-2 in the conference, while the Bulldogs are 1-6 overall and 0-4 in the NBC. Kickoff is scheduled for 7 p.m. The boys soccer team closes out its regular season on Saturday, hosting Bowling Green at noon. The Panthers will also honor its senior class before the game. The cross-country teams are in Oak Harbor on Saturday for the NBC Championship. That's set to start at 10 a.m. The girls soccer team hosts Rossford on Monday night for Teacher Appreciation Night. That game is scheduled to start at 7 p.m. And that's a look ahead at the week to come in Maumee Athletics. You've reached the end of another episode of Inside Maumee Athletics. Thanks again to John Bowles for coming on the podcast. It was great having a true Maumee legend join the show. We're also lucky to have our supporters, the Maumee Athletic Boosters, the Mirror Newspaper, and Pride of the Panthers photographers. If you'd like to contact the podcast, email us at InsideMaumeeAthletics@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Inside Maumee Athletics on Facebook and YouTube, and at Inside Maumee ATH on Twitter. Until next week, thanks for listening.